Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 33, the first paragraph, starting with, "This contains a powerful lesson," through one paragraph ending, "That someday he will be immune to alcohol." Today's readers are, we have Lisa W. for the 12 steps, Beth F. for the 12 traditions, Shelley E. will read and comment on that paragraph, Vanessa G. is reading Vision for You, and Kara L. is backup. And then we also have Alex K. for newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. for announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, April 22nd, time meeting was 23,391, and for today, Thursday, April 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,393. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And now ask Lisa W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Please unmute Lisa.
Hi, sorry about that. Lisa W. from Colorado. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for the opportunity to serve.
Thank you, Lisa W. Next up is Beth F. for the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Beth F. from Northern California, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth S. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book on page 33. The first paragraph, starting with "this case contains a powerful lesson," through one paragraph ending that someday he will be immune to alcohol. And I'm asking Shelley E. to please read and comment on that paragraph.
Oh, thanks so much. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 33. This case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remained sober for a long stretch, we could thereafter drink normally. But here is a man who at 55 years found he was just where he left off at 30. We've seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. I knew I was reading this paragraph this morning, and when I read it, I went to the first meeting, and when I read it, thinking about, sharing on it, for some reason it popped up in my mind when I first came to OA, and I didn't realize it was a disease, and I certainly had tried everything known to mankind besides surgery. I had not had the surgery. But I really didn't realize it was a disease, but I knew that, I could lose weight, but I couldn't keep it off. I was just, in my head was just crazy. But what came to mind was when I did join OA, I was told, go ahead and find a nutritionist and get a plan. You know, I call it my prescription. So, get a plan of eating. And, I went on my merry way, found a nutritionist. And when thank God I had the sense that when she gave me my plan, she said, no, this is your plan, and slowly we will start working some of these things in that you say that you can't have. We can't have any food fears. And slowly we'll start working some of these things in, some of these sugary things, so that you don't have to not have them forever. And I'm so grateful that God made that kind of a ding, 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 ding. Okay, maybe you need to find someone else. That was the way that she was taught. And apparently it occurred to me that she was not used to people with an addiction or people with this disease. And I knew enough to think, okay, that works for some people, but I know that that does not work for me. So I'm forever grateful that I did have this group to rely on that they could send me on a way to someone who could help me. That being said, as we know, that's just a very small part of it is our food plan or our prescription, again, like I like to call it. It was the program. It was being my hand being put in my God's hand that helped me, because I could lose the weight. I could follow a plan. But what I didn't understand was that I needed God's help, that I needed, and I mean God's help in everything. And I didn't realize when I was, you know, walking the halls, worrying about my kids, out driving, I didn't realize that fear and faith could not coexist. So it was leaning in, it was God's help, along with working steps every day, sponsoring, doing my 10, 11, 12. It's those things that keep me on the right path. Every once in a while, I will have a lurking notion. I know when we were in Japan, maybe a year ago, I thought, you know, that's not something I can have. I could have a little bit of that. And I thought, what are you thinking? That's not in your prescription. No, you cannot have that. That I would call a lurking notion. When they do come up, and I do occasionally have them, I have to recognize that, no, that is dangerous territory, and we're not going down that road. Anyway, you guys have a great day. I appreciate you letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelly E. So let's see. We're going to now is the time for your shares. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So please share your first name, your last initial, and your location.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Polly Paul Q. S.
Paul
was a. This is second year. I got a Polly something, and then somebody S.
Polly
Q. Hold on, Polly.
McCall.
Was Paul R.
I know, Paul. I'm just waiting. There's someone before you. McCall?
Sorry. Yes, McCall S.
Nicole
Polly
S.
Q.
Thank you, Polly Q. Got you there. So I got Polly Q, then Nicole S, if that's right, then Paul K. Okay, who else? Okay, let's start with those four. I have Alex K, Polly Q, Nicole S, and Paul R. Is that correct? And then make sure everyone you share where you're calling from. So I can have everyone mute except Alex K, and then you'll be followed by Polly Q. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K, compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. Well, there were so many times I did believe that having been abstinent for a while, I could eat like a normal eater, that somehow I wouldn't have a problem with my binge foods anymore. And that's part of the delusion of the disease that convinces me it's okay to go back to compulsive eating, no matter how miserable it made me. I'd rationalize it by saying, I've been abstinent for a week or a day or sometimes less than a day, so I can handle it now. As if that period of abstinence, no matter how short, would somehow protect me from the disease. And it seems crazy now, but it made perfect sense to me at the time. I also, for a long time, had this idea in the back of my mind that, though, yes, I'm powerless now, someday I'll be able to eat my binge foods without a problem, as if I'd magically wake up someday not being a compulsive eater. I wasn't fully surrendered, and that really hindered my recovery. I was still relying on myself, and I didn't have any sustained abstinence. At some point in my recovery, I realized that that idea was gone, that that delusion had been smashed, and that's evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. I no longer thought I'd ever be a normal eater. I knew without a doubt that I could not eat certain foods sanely. And this change in thinking is part of the psychic change we're promised and being restored to sanity. Now I live in reality rather than fantasy. I can see the truth that I'm a compulsive eater and always will be. I'm not resisting it. I accept it, and I'm okay with it. It's just one fact of my life, like the fact that I have blue eyes. I'm in a peaceful, contented place, no longer struggling and suffering in the disease. The food obsession and compulsion have been removed. Such a miracle. I'm so grateful for this program and my higher power rescuing me. What a relief. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. Next up is Paula Q. And please share where you're calling from.
Thank you for your service, moderator. This is Polly Q, Northern California, recovered.
Please go ahead.
I wonder what would have happened I wonder what would have happened to this man who died of thinking that he could just not drink for a long time and then come back and start drinking again. We don't really have that option, do we? Because we have to eat food every day. And that's the deal, is that we really can't. I am always going to be a food addict. But I have gone out after a time and just gradually picked up other foods. Didn't really take a look at, you know, at the amounts that I was eating. It was gradual. It was gradual. But I've done it after 13 years of white-knuckling abstinence until, yep, after those 13 years, I was completely and utterly in the food again. So and that's because I just could not surrender. I was so good at running on willpower that I didn't realize that I was always into that food. That's why it was white knuckling. So what am I going to do about a thing like that? Because that means even trying to eat abstinently, if I'm not surrendered, I'm going to pick that food back up. And I have been around the room so long, for so many years, before I even came to the vision meeting, to know that eventually food addicts die of the disease if they are of the hopeless variety like I am. If you are a food addict of the hopeless variety like I am, I don't see, it's just not going to last. At some point, I'm going to have to face the fact that either I'm going to need a lot more program. I'm going to, more than just coming to meetings, I am going to need to work these steps like I never have, so that I can surrender it to God, to my higher power, whatever that happens to be. Because otherwise, if I don't live in those steps, there will come a day. I hate that idea, but it's the truth. And I had to face it years and years and years after joining LA. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Polly Q in California. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Paul R.
Hi, good morning. This is McCall S. in Massachusetts.
McCall.
Hi, thank you. It's M-I-C-H-A-L, and thank you for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being here. It's a good meeting for me so far. I'm exactly where I need to be. I haven't shared in a little while, and I didn't want to share, but so I thought, okay, I better share. And so this is really good because my experience is, you know, I came into OA and it was a little different than Vision, and then I found my way to Vision, and I, you know, worked with someone who took me through the Big Book, and it was like, oh, I get it, you know, and I put down, like, you know, for me, I was like, okay, no sugar, no flour, I got it, you know, and then it's going along, and lately it's been like, oh, wow. There's more, you know, and it and it's, I don't even want to admit it, but there's like another food, which seems totally healthy to me, that like is troubling me. And I'm like, I don't really want to be troubled by this food. Thanks. You know, it wasn't, you know. And so I'm just like, okay, I've heard it a couple times already in this meeting. And I asked my higher power, you know, please help me understand the true nature of my powerlessness around this food, like, and the surrender, like just surrender, you know, but I can feel my defiance, like, I don't want to be powerless over this food. Like, this is a perfectly normal food. So I'm just saying it out loud, surrendering it to all of you and my higher power in this meeting. And, you know, my experience too is like, well, when I stay in the steps, like, it's not a problem. And a little note that I have in, it's not a problem, I should say, it's not a problem to be powerless over the food. And I have a little note in this paragraph that says, my problem is my thinking, next to like, if we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, no lurking notion. So when I stay in the steps, which really helps me get connected to my higher power, and when I talk to each of you, you know, my thinking is just like, okay. But it's so insidious, this disease. And I didn't have this experience with flour and sugar. So anyway, that's all I have. Really grateful to be here today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, McCall. I don't have your last initial, in Massachusetts. Next up is Paul R., and then we'll open the line for more shares. And before you, Paul, we'll just remind everyone that we are on page 33, the first paragraph, starting with this case contains a powerful lesson, ending in that someday he will be immune to alcohol.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Paul R., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thanks for everyone for being in here and speak up. You know, it means a lot in my recovery to hear you and hear you what paragraph by paragraph means to you. Because you know, technically, when I connect to this call, I hit all the three angles. I'm going to be, if I'm speaking up as well, if I share and if I listen, if I'm present here, I'm hitting the mental, the physical, and the spiritual triangle. All the triangle I get into, I make it work for me. And it's just really powerful. You know, I love the paragraph and I love everyone shares. You know, it's like, what is to be really needs to be an alcoholic with food, you know, a food drunk. You know, I have a spiritual malady and I have a hopeless state of mind and body that I have to recover from. And, you know, it's funny enough that it's, you know, I have so hard time to understand that I'm never going to be able to eat a tiramisu. I was like, no, I will be. And I fight it for so long period of time. And I needed to understand, like, this is just how it goes. I'm also a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. And like how I understand that I just can't touch it. I have to leave it alone. Like, if I don't want to play with the fire, I have to leave it alone. Otherwise, I can see myself where I can find myself, like last time, or worse. Never get better, it just gets worse. My progression is never gets better. I prove myself to so many times. So what I have to do is I need to understand, and the surrender came, that I'm just so truly grateful for that. It comes and I understand. One time it just hits me, it's like, it's not about drugs and alcohol or food. It's about surrendering my will to this God of my own understanding. Because it's like, end of the day, like, you know, this paragraph really presents it to me that I never can be cured of this threefold disease. It's not about alcohol. It's not about food. It's about how I thinking, my thinking. That's for me the base. And then the spiritual melody that I have nothing else other than myself to think about. And, you know, funny enough that I read today that, you know, like every day is a day that we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. I have today. That's all I have. And just thanks you. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'll be passed.
Thank you. Paul R. in California. So I'm ready for more folks we'd like to share.
Margo B. New York.
Margo
Tina
B.
W.
Tina W.
Stephen G.
Peggy W.
Stephen G. It was after Stephen.
Peggy W.
Someone W.
Peggy.
Peggy W. Thank you.
Penny C.
Penny C.
Jordan L.
It's actually Penny.
Penny.
It's G-U-N-I-T. Gunit B.
G-U-N-I-T.
I-T, yes.
Gunit. Thank you so much. And then I had Jordan L.
Thank you.
Okay. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I would like to pause there and then we'll see. We might have space for another one or two. So I've got Margo B., Tina W., Stephen G., Peggy W., Gunit C., and Jordan L. If everyone please mute except for Margo, and then after Margo, we'll have Tina, and please share everyone where you're calling from. Go ahead, Margo. Margo, please unmute.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you. Margo B. from New York, compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for their service and the comments around the room. Yes, a real compulsive overeater. How do I identify with a real compulsive overeater? It's either that I've learned this in the rooms, that I'm either trying to stop eating or afraid to eat or anything around the food. And when I stay stopped for those moments during my binge diet cycle prior to the rooms or learning about all this, I was irritable, angry, and discontent. So when I start to look for foods and start, my eyes just wandering, you know, I have to remember I have conceded to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater. I have earned my seat. And what's going on? Like, what's going on? What is my motive, right? I have bottom line abstinence, and I need to know what is going on in my mind, my heart, my brain, and is it blocking me from my higher power, who I choose to call God? And I don't been there, done that, and it is ugly and dark when I am blocked from my God. And because of all the different levels with this disease, that includes, you know, getting on the scale, getting off the scale, using it as a weapon instead of a tool. You know, all of a sudden my body becomes a fixation, not the food. These are all the mental twists and turns that keep me from God, okay? And when it keeps me from God, I know that all of a sudden my food, that's all that exists. Like, that's the only thing that's important. Same thing with the body or the weight or the yada, yada, yada. Then all of a sudden, you know what I, then that means nothing else is important. So I cannot show up for life. And now I can learn, oh, something's going on. Let me check in. What's happening here? Do I need to make a phone call? Do I need to talk to my sponsor? Do I need to talk to a fellow person? Whatever it is, I need to nourish my mind, my soul and spirit, and my body in a healthy, loving way. And I can only redo that by remembering that I am indeed a compulsive overeater and concede to my innermost self and hold on to that. But I need the reminders daily. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margot B. in New York. Next up is Tina W., followed by Stephen G.
Hi, this is Tina W. from South Jersey, gratefully one day at a time recovered. Page 30, this is the whole chapter more about alcoholism, is about why do we have to keep coming to OA? What's our problem? It's not a one and a done. We have to be disciplined. It's a way of life. Why? Because they've already seen people go back. You know, I can't say, well, I fully conceded to myself in 2001. When I walked in those doors, it has to be done continually. Why? Because I have an ego that has recuperative powers that wants to start to take over again. I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. I cannot rely on my thinking. It's delusional. And I can't get good enough to eat again. I can't get holy enough to be not in this program, but start my own food addiction program. And we begin to believe we don't need it. And, or we get angry about something and we know we're right about it and it's wrong. And then all that takes over again and I walk away. I'm always going to be this way and I'm never going to change. And so they're telling us that there's a solution, you know, a problem's only a problem until there's a solution. You see generals in the army that are in their 50s or 60s and they're still fit. They didn't say, I went to boot camp back in 1972. And now they're just, you know, smoking cigars and eating all they want. And they had to stay fit. They decided they were part of that army or whatever military they're in. I have to admit that I will have this for the rest of my life. It took me 20 years in the rooms to concede to that. And I didn't know that my thinking was full flight from reality. And I also have to know that I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And every day I have to carry the vision of God's will into all my activities, not some of them, not when I feel like it, not when the guy cuts in front of me in the road and I want to go after him, or when somebody does something I don't like, but nobody knows them and they don't know that I'm an OA and nobody knows them from my town and I get to just unleash on them. I can't get away with anything now. I have to live a spiritual life and I can't be like other people. And, you know, I can think I buried all those old bones in my backyard a long time ago, but that hand starts to come out from the ground. And there's somebody there like a zombie that wants to get up out of the ground and start taking over my life again. And that person is me. And that is a very difficult thing to accept, that my thinking's wrong. I mean, I pay my bills. I have a mortgage. I have a job. But you're telling me that my thinking's off? That's the problem, and that's why I got to keep reading this, and that's why they reiterated step one in this whole chapter. So thanks for letting me share that with Allie Pass.
Thank you, Tina W. in New Jersey. Next up is Stephen G., followed by Peggy W.
Good morning. This is Stephen G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So much important information in this paragraph. Whether we are a newcomer, whether we're just coming back from relapse, or whether we've been recovered for many years. And this book and this fellowship teaches me that I have an allergy of the body. Certain foods, ingredients, behaviors related to eating I can't safely do. And that I have a mental obsession. So I always go back to do them regardless of the damage that causes to me, and that it's permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal. And in my case, that fatality will be probably suicide because it's so uncomfortable. And of course, we have to come to this conclusion that we have this problem on our own. We're provided with the information. But like the book says previously, you know, if you're not sure, go out and do a little controlled eating of those alcoholic foods, ingredients, and practice those behaviors. And of course, that's what I did and kept ending up in the same spot in complete and utter emotional, physical, psychological pain. And eventually accepted that I have this disease and was willing to take the actions, entire abstinence plus a spiritual solution as a result of working these steps. But this book is telling me that no matter what, left to my own devices, I will always come back to this idea that I can maybe do those things, that I can maybe eat those things, that I can maybe get away with not setting boundaries around volume, that I can maybe eat between meals, that I can maybe eat at night. And only if I continue to work this program will a power greater than me protect me from that crazy idea and give me neutrality. And so this lurking notion that someday we'll be immune to our alcoholic foods and behaviors, but also that we will be immune to needing a spiritual experience or a spiritual basis for living. And that idea will come to me that, oh, I don't need to be part of a fellowship. Oh, I don't need to inventory uncomfortable emotions in step 10. Oh, I don't need to pray and meditate. Oh, I don't need to carry this message to others. Oh, I don't really need to practice these principles in all my affairs. And I have to be very careful of that. But when I do those things, I get a particular result. But when I don't, I go back to this disease, and it's cunning, it's baffling, and it's fatal. But thank God I get to live a normal life on a daily basis so long as I follow these very simple instructions. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. Next up, at Peggy W., followed by Ganit C.
Hi, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. And I absolutely love this paragraph. I have to surrender every single day because I am a true compulsive overeater. There is no going back. And this definitely is a spiritual program. I have to get on my knees every single day and remind myself and ask my higher power to give me the willingness to want to do this program. And, you know, I want to be in a greener body, so, hey, let's just get on board. I don't know. I am just so grateful in these last few days. You know, we had a cancer scare with my husband. He's a stage 4 prostate survivor. Well, we can't call him that yet. He's only 3.5 years out, and so they want him to get to 5 years. The last week we thought it was bad because PSAs were up, but they weren't really up. We were at a different clinic. Their numbers read differently. Who would have thought? But I panicked, you know, because that's what I do. And my sponsor had said, let's pray. Let's talk to the old guy upstairs and see what's happening here and see what we can do, what he can do to help you. And I'll tell you, within a day, it all worked itself out. It cost us $4,500, but peace of mind is worth every penny. Well, anyways, I'm really, really grateful to be here, and I will continue to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy W. in Wisconsin. And now I have Ganit C. followed by Jordan L. Ganit C., please unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much. I thought I was unmuted. Good morning. Gunice B. It's actually Gunice B. as in boy from Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everybody. No worries. Thank you so much, everybody, for keeping this meeting going. It's my first time actually sharing here. You keep me company every now and then when I'm headed to the office. So I absolutely get so reminded I don't graduate. And I remember also, when I started program and I started working with a therapist, this was maybe like 13, 14 years ago or so forth, and she said, well, in moderation you can have. And I realized, as painful as it was, no, I can't. The word zero is better than one. And I looked at a fellow who was decades in, and I said, I don't think she understands. She's like, no, they don't get it. And I remember the person that, God bless her, the angel that carried the message over to me and said, you know, we have this wonderful secret club. And honestly, it felt like I'm home. People don't necessarily get it, and it's not just with the food. More than not getting it with the food, it's the stinking thinking. That's what got me home. And I may have first thought, and I still think at times, God, why? Why can't I just be like the normie, especially when I'm out there with family and friends and work and stuff? I don't want to complicate things. Why can't I just have it like everybody else? And it just reminds me the gift is so much greater, because trusting in something, if I didn't have something that I had to surrender for, I wouldn't have the best things that have come, which is some courage from a loving higher power to live life courageously, to suit up, to show up. People often ask, what's the bravest thing you do? And I'm like, to show up for my day. That's so much in my tent. I don't want to come to the office. I have a different company that I'm still getting used to. I have a different home I'm very grateful for. It's a miracle, but it's absolutely, I would want to hide. I want to hide. I want to find every excuse in the world. But without that surrender of having something to lead to something greater that I've experienced just because of the food, it reminds me that this disease in recovery is my greatest gift. And I think I need to say that out loud, because God do for me what I cannot do for myself, which is to believe those words. I still kick and scream my way, even as I say those words. But for now, I'm grateful to even say them and be reminded of that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ganit B. in California. Have a good day at the office. Next up, we have Jordan L. in Colorado. And then I think we'll have time for one more share.
Hey, good morning, Donna. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. this is tough here. This is real tough. I don't think it's most of us believed. I think, as far as I can tell, in Overeaters Anonymous, all of us believe that after a time, we can eat those alcoholic foods normally, at least when we first come in, right? When we get here or get started on this process, I think pretty much all of us believe that somehow, someday, we'll figure it out, we'll beat the game kind of thing. And so it's tough. This is tough, coming to this conclusion. And I know for me, it didn't happen quickly. It took time. It's just that, like, that thought that I had when I first came in, and I was approaching all of this for the first time, that thought of, how can I go the rest of my life without ice cream? How could I possibly do that? How could anyone possibly do that? And like others have shared this morning, the people out in the world tell us the same thing. Like, really? You're never going to eat ice cream ever again? And so I, like, this really was something that I came to believe in as a result of recovery. And the way that I see it, it's kind of like that fundamental idea of God. Deep down, it's inside each and every one of us, and we kind of got to seek it. And it's the same thing here. If I have this lurking notion when I start out on this process, like, I got to look deep down inside. What is the real truth? Like, what is the actual truth? And when I came back in and I was desperate, I was convinced as a result of having gone back to the food over and over and over again, and I came back to Overeaters Anonymous, and I asked myself that deep down. I got real honest with myself and asked, deep down, what is it that I know to be true? And what I know to be true is that those alcoholic foods will never not be alcoholic for me. And so if I want to stay abstinent, like it says here, if you plan to quit drinking, if I plan to stay abstinent, I got to let go of those foods. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. We have time for one more share. Who would like to jump in?
This is Pam B. from Pittsburgh.
I got Pam B. from Pittsburgh. Thank you.
That's Denise P. Sorry, not Pam. Pam
okay.
was second. Thank you, Pam.
Denise.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you. Just a short thing. What a transformation happens after five weeks of being back in to the steps to get to the place that I missed. I had a grasp of living in step 10, 11, and 12. And all I really want to share is, as all of the spirituality has come through the shares, I was thinking, writing notes on the side about things I was referring to. And so those are some of the gifts from this meeting. But the one that I just want to share is, when I was talking, somebody was saying about it being a spiritual gift, and I'm thinking my sponsor has said we enlarge our spiritual condition. Is that YOA is what it is? I think the spiritual word really is hidden in the word anonymous. In anonymity, my higher power acts very anonymous, very under my truth, always there. And so for me now to embrace more, instead of, I'm in a food program and, can't eat this. And that progression from the real black and white food that was addictive to now the subtle, the progression of the disease, is that coming to this program that nails it, as somebody said, a secret little organization, the secret being in the anonymity. Although it doesn't say the word spiritual there, but that's the part. So my physical part, that overeater, that temporal, I want it now, not tomorrow, now, impatient. The spiritual, the eternal part, if you will. I remember one time telling people about a raindrop, and that the spiritual and the temporal, that the piece of dust in the middle of the water molecule in the raindrop, that's what brings the mist or the down to the earth. It's a little piece of dirt. A little piece of dirt is that overeater in me, but there around that wonderful teardrop is this material that's of that spirit, and it dries up and it goes back and it really doesn't go away. It really stays. But all that catching in Overeaters Anonymous of the part of me who wants to rule the world, but there in the name is this spiritual peace, and y'all have that. And with that, I just thank you for all sharing. Thank you, Donna. Again, I pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Denise in PA. All right. Thank you, everyone, for such amazing shares today. I feel really filled up. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 64. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see, I've got Vanessa G. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico, a compulsive overeater, recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.